welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of lessons out of the book of Ezekiel. So go grab your Bible and get close to your radio as we take a deeper look in the book.
Mercy. Ooh, where the Epton saw that. Amen. Amen. My wife would tell you, Lord have mercy. That tore me up. Have you ever tried to change your tie at 10 o'clock at night out there on the road in that tall grass? Eating you up. Amen. Red bugs. And you can't hardly see them. That's the thing about them. You can't hardly see them. But if you went out on Highway 20 and you saw somebody just preaching to that Texas emblem, what would you think? Say, he done went crazy. We need to call Terrell right quick. Call the men in the white coats to come get him. He's out there preaching to the Texas sign. And then you come to find out, wait a minute, he ain't crazy. That's a preacher. God sent that preacher here to say Texas is getting ready to be judged. That was basically what Ezekiel was doing. That was the meaning of this. It was those that are living in Israel on the mountain or in the valley will soon be judged. That's what he was doing. He was pointing that way because that's the people. They was waiting every day. They sitting down here thinking they're going to come over the mountain. They're coming and get us. They're going to get us sooner or later. But Ezekiel is letting them know, judgment is coming over there to the mountains. So Ezekiel, again, kind of busts their bubble with that particular illustration. All right, let's go on to the next illustration, which is the seventh illustration in verse number 11 through 14. Look at the symbol in verse 11. Thus said the Lord God, smit with thine hand, stamp with thy feet, and say, at last, for all the evil abomination of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by pestilence. You know what he's doing there? What's the symbol? What's the symbol? What would you think if you saw a person walking around and they just all of a sudden they just walking and next thing you know they said, what's wrong with that person there? You'd think that they having a Negro fit, wouldn't you? What do you see how God is using another illustration, something simple? Clap your hand, stamp your feet. When you get their attention, then tell them. All right, what was this one about? The significant. This is done predicting judgment that is coming. See, in verse number 12, he that is far off shall die of pestilence. What's that? That's a sickness, isn't it? In other words, disease. And he that is near shall fall by the sword. Those that still in Jerusalem are going to fall by the sword. And he that remain and is besieged shall die by famine. Those that didn't get one able to escape Jerusalem, they're going to die by starvation. We already seen how bad it is over there. They're eating people. It's pretty bad when you got to start eating people. All you got is, what we got today, all we got is people. That's pretty bad. Then shall they know that I am the Lord, when their slain men shall be among their idols round about their altar, upon every high hills, in all the top of the mountains, under every green tree, under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savor to all their idols. So will I stretch out my hands upon them and make the land desolate, yet more desolate than the wilderness towards Delah, in all their habitation. And they shall know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel is pending more judgment. So basically all three of these illustrations was illustrations about how God is still sending judgment on his people, whether it's by famine, whether it's by pestilence, or whether it's by a sword. God still is sending judgment on his people. Well, how shall we apply this lesson to our life? Let me give you three things here. Number one, God's servant must love God more than himself or herself. God's servant must love God more than himself. Y'all looking at me strange. The symbol for number two, the significant for number two. Those that are living in Israel and on the mountain or in the valley will be judged. Is that what y'all got? Mm-hmm. Okay. This is done predicting the judgment that is coming. Are you with me? Under Roman number three. Roman number three, the seven illustration. Number two, the significant of that clapping the hands and stomping the feet. This is done predicting the judgment that is coming. Yeah, he's predicting that judgment is coming. And actually, that was an attention getter. He still was getting the folks' attention. Then once he get their attention, then he go on and tell them what thus done said the Lord. I may need to try that one Sunday. Teachers used to do that all the time. Don't y'all remember teachers? Teachers walk in a classroom, a pop-up thing. It was a lady, Ruby Hill? Used to come down that hallway. Boy, you could hear all the way down that hallway. Whip it, get in line. Boy, she'd be popping her finger so, oh boy. Wow. And you didn't want her to have to catch you out in the hallway, you know, and she had to correct you out in the hallway, because she's going to get you back once they get back in the room, because her class supposed to have been the model class. Amen. Once you left out that classroom, she had like soldiers. You know, you walk like soldiers. She had you. You had to walk the line. And she would tie you up. She would roll them sleeves up and tie you up. Amen. But teachers used to do that. Yeah, get attention. Get attention. Amen. Amen. So I don't know if they got this out the Bible or what, but they used to do that. Amen. They used to do that. Amen. I ought to do it one Sunday coming in. You know? And see what y'all be able to recognize. Y'all will be able to know what's going on. But everybody else probably think, man, what's going on with the pastor this morning? Did you see that every time he made a point? He went yeah. Pastor got happy this morning. That's what they be saying. All right. All right. Are we ready now? How should we apply this lesson? Three things. God's servant must love God more than himself. Now, you look at all of these seven illustrations that Ezekiel did. Ezekiel could have easily said on any one of those illustrations, God, folks going to think I'm crazy. I don't want to do that. Remember his first illustration? It looked like he was playing toward soldiers and stuff. You know, he went and got a picture of Jerusalem, and then he put a lit wall up against it, and then he got some like lit men around it, and it was showing how that they was being barricaded. So it kind of looked like he was playing army men and stuff. Now, you think about it. A grown man, now, what would you think? A grown man went and got some lit army soldiers and was playing in the middle of the street. You would think something is wrong with him. And then remember the illustration where he was eating his food over cow dung? Y'all remember that? And this was to show that this is what folks in Jerusalem, this is how they're going to be eating their food. It ain't going to be no, they're not going to be able to go out and get firewood. They're going to have to get cow dung in order to cook their meals with. Yeah. Now, you think about it. Now, remember, now that was the only one that Ezekiel really kind of done a little back talk to, you know, where he said, Lord, you know, because God wanted him at first to do human dung, remember? And Ezekiel said, hey, Lord, now, wait a minute. I don't want no trouble here, you know. But that's kind of going pretty far, you know, human dung. He said, that's all right. Well, let's go with the cow dung then. We can substitute that in there for that. But he went on and done that. And then think about 390 days on one side. And then God said, you can get up now, but turn over and go 40 days on the other side. Then you can get up now and lay on your back a while until I tell you to get up. Isn't that something? And then look at these three illustrations we see today. Cut off all your hair. He may say, Lord, I like the way my hair look. He cut off his hair. Now, you think about it. We'll do a lot of stuff when you start messing with my appearance. Hello, somebody. I remember when I was in high school, you couldn't wear sideburns below your earlobes. And I had some bell-bottom sideburns. I was trying to be like Walt Frazier. Anybody know about Walt Frazier? Clyde, that's who I wanted to be. I was a basketball player, and I used to try to, you know, mark Clyde Frazier. He was a cool player with them long sideburns. Amen. Amen. And so I made a deal, you know, with the principal. I told him I keep them shaped up, and so I would have to walk by the principal's office. He would kind of do a little inspection. Oh man, I was gone back, but I kept them sideburns. The only time my wife will tell you, the only time I cut my sideburns off is when I came out here to go to DeVry, and they said they wouldn't send me on an interview unless I was clean cut. And I said, Lord, have mercy. I said, I went all these years with sideburns. As a matter of fact, at 13, my first movie that I ever went to see was the movie The Exorcism. And I was 13 years old. Didn't even have no idea, but I had them sideburns. My sister was older than me. They asked her for her ID. They didn't even ask me for mine. Once they saw them sideburns, they said, oh, we know you. We know you about 18. You come on up in here. But you think about it. Personal appearance is very in whatever style your children like. Try to change their style and see, won't you have a fight on your hands? Yeah, but notice Ezekiel cooperation with God. Cut off his hair all because he loved God more than himself. And that's the level that God wants us to be on. Where God can ask us to do anything and we do it without any back talk. That's what it means when the scripture says, love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And so we see an illustration of that in Ezekiel. So that's one thing that we learn. So we must love God more than ourselves. Then number two, learn to accept your punishment and move on. These people, after the first illustration, should have been enough. But they kept thinking that they're going to come. Help is going to come. Help is on the way. Can't you hear them sitting around having say, help is on the way. Help is on the way. And Ezekiel got right in there with them. Help ain't on the way. Help ain't on the way. But think about it. He done went through seven crazy illustrations, and the people still ain't got it. They still sitting around, don't want to believe Ezekiel's message. Now, think about it. We just on chapter 6. And it's what? I think it's 48 chapters. He got a lot more preaching to do. After them seven illustrations, that should have been enough right there. To accept your punishment and move on. Move on. But the people, they hadn't accepted their punishment. That's one of the problems that we have today in the church. People are not willing to accept what God has allowed to happen in their life. And you got a lot of people today that are angry with God. Do you know why a lot of folks don't come to Christ? It's because Christian people are angry people. People don't want to follow an angry person. They ain't coming to your church and you angry at work, you mad at work. You cutting people head off at work over stuff that happened 15 years ago? Yeah, you got to accept whatever done happen in your life, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, and move on. Because whatever done happen, it ain't as bad as it could have been. When God looked at all the options, God said, well, I'm going to let this one come into your life. And see, God has got different options, just like we saw here. God is not limited to just one kind of punishment. Look at the lesson. One kind of punishment was a sword. The other kind was being scattered. The other kind was being burned. So whatever happens in your life, God knows that that's the one that you can handle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So accept that and move on. If you don't have a job, accept the fact that you don't have a job right now. Don't be worried about trying to, you know, I'm going to go back and, you know, I'm going to press charge. And no, accept that you done got fired on that one. And Move on. Yeah. Y'all know my heart here. But what I'm saying is, don't let your family go down. Don't cause misery on your whole family because of something that happened in the past, whether it was good, bad, and ugly. You gotta deal with whatever it is right now. Whatever the situation is, you gotta deal with that right now. You know, a lot of people say, well, I just don't believe in such and such. Well, whether you believe it or not, it happened, so we got to deal with it. we got to move on. Amen. Amen. So whatever done happened in your life, go on, accept it, and move on. And remember Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good, for those that love the Lord. And so you just got to get your love life together with the Lord. The Lord is up to something great in your life. So accept whatever done happened and, you know, move on. Your house done burned down, the house done burned down. And now go on and get you another one. Yeah, whatever done happened, you can't... Being mad ain't no bring that house back. Being mad ain't no, but I just got me a new suit. Well, you're going to have to go buy you another one because you ain't no be to get that and back. That went up in the smoke. Amen. Accept the fact that some things you just won't get back. Yeah. That's just life. That's a part of life. Bad things is a part of life. Amen. You know, the most people are surprised when bad things happen. Don't be surprised when bad things happen. You ought to be surprised that bad things ain't happening to you all the time. You think about it. You think about it. You go down the highway. A million cars travel down this highway, this certain highway, every day. You go down that highway every day. You're one of the millions. But you don't get hit. You done went down that highway 15 years. The 16th year, you got hit. You ought to be thanking God that you ain't getting hit every day. You're around a million cars, and folks are talking on cell phones and stuff. Hello, somebody, running red lights and stuff. Amen. Amen. Acting all crazy, switching lanes and stuff. On our way here this evening, we was coming down the street there, two-lane street, and there was an 18-wheeler. The 18-wheeler was in the right lane. There was a truck in front of us, was getting ready to pass the 18-wheeler. The 18-wheeler swung out in order to make a right turn. He swung out in the left lane. That guy had to hit on his brakes. We had to hit on our brakes. Now, if we would have been on our cell phone talking or looking around, boom! And the guy who caused the wreck would have went on about his business, not knowing that he done caused a wreck because he done swung all out in the other lane. People do that kind of stuff every day.
Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bibleway Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.